With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Tom time. Welcome in. Thanks so much. Joining us momentarily will be one of the co-sponsors of this bill in New Jersey that I want to hear him out. I realize the anti-Semitism from the left, mainly, that's out there is incredible. And today's another example. The House is slated to pass legislation today to oppose the global boycott movement against Israel. Okay? A vote that, of course, will put the spotlight on Representatives Omar and Tlaib. Now, most Democrats in the House apparently oppose the boycott, divestment, and sanctions, the BDS movement. They want democracy in the Middle East to take that down. And I believe most of them that are doing this are not just anti-Israel. I think a good number of them are anti-Semitic. Omar, though, has cited boycotts of Nazi Germany and South Africa in making the case for her resolution to say that we ought to be doing this and we should be able to do this through official channels. So this is coming up today as we speak. And joining us is State Senator over in New Jersey, Robert Singer. He's a Republican in the 30th District. I think that's Monmouth County. You know Steve Sweeney.
Monmouth
and Ocean. Thank you. Good morning. And Steve Sweeney, who we know here locally on the Democrat side, are co-sponsors. So, Senator, what would this do? Why now? And what are you trying to do with this bill?
Well, first of all, unfortunately, in the 2018 report showed the three worst states in the country for acts of anti-Semitism. California was number one, New York was number two, and unfortunately, New Jersey was number three. And that's a pretty terrible thing to be number three in the country as act of anti-Semitism. And so from that perspective is why the bill was introduced, to make a clear understanding that anti-Semitism is not acceptable in the state and certainly not acceptable in our classrooms and our areas of higher education. And, you know, let me share one thought with you on this. Every piece of legislation that I've ever introduced, starts out one way and goes through changes. There's hearings, there's input.
Mm-hmm.
We take a lot of things into consideration before a final bill reaches the governor's desk. So a lot of these editorials and people saying, oh, this is against the First Amendment, well, nonsense. These things will all be vetted out prior to a bill going any place because that's the committee form of government we use, and then it goes to the House for the floor for a vote and everything else like that. So they're kind of miscongenuous about what they're saying about this. This bill simply wants to make it loud and clear that we will not accept anti-Semitism acts, or we will not accept the fact that we have, in certain instances, teachers or professors are teaching that way or saying those kind of things. And you're right.
Okay, well, let me get to it then. I'm sorry to interrupt, but
that's right.
I'm on board with this, but I'm in a taking it, and from what I can tell, you're a thoughtful guy on this. I worry about the constitutionality of this, and I more want to draw these people out. But I'm open to what you're trying to do. People know what physical acts of anti-Semitism would be. What are we talking about in education, though? Suppose someone wants to say, I get these people all the time, outright Holocaust denial. Would this make that illegal?
No, it wouldn't. But let me share to you why we're talking about with higher education. Example, a Jewish student comes to his professor. And this we know factual, one of the groups of higher education says, you have an exam that if I don't take the exam, I'm going to fail the course. It's on my high holiday, Rosh Hashanah. Well, you can't take the test. There's no pretest. There's no after test. You fail. Well, wait a second. That's my religious high holiday. I can't. Mm-hmm. You can't make an exception? No. We had to go to bat for that. That's a simple, and as far as I'm concerned, act of anti-Semitism. Would you say to someone, we're taking your final exam on Christmas?
I don't know that that's anti-Semitism. I agree with you.
Well, I accept it as such only because it's against the Jewish student doing it, no one else. But
Okay. But let's go through then. Suppose someone then diminishes the Holocaust. Are they able to do that? I get these guys who try to quibble with me all the time about the numbers, and it's obvious why they're doing that. Is that something that would come under this?
No, not at all. I think where's the big fight is using the term about denouncing the state of Israel and doing that in a negative factor, not about a policy factor, about being a Jewish state. And keep in mind about one thing: the world has determined that Israel is a Jewish state. Period. Factually, there are more Jews than any other ethnic group. But
right.
There are Muslims that are Jewish citizens. There are Catholics that are citizens of Israel. But we call it a Jewish state. We don't do that any other country in the world. We don't say that Italy, where the Vatican is a Catholic state. It's Italy. Israel is Israel. And again, in a form of anti-Semitism, it's the Jewish state and the Jews. So that in my form of way is a hidden form of anti-Semitism in many ways.
Okay, so if you do that, you keep on with this, and you call it the Jewish state. By the way, listeners should know, and I haven't had a chance to look, you use the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance's definitions around
Correct.
This. What happens if a school district or someone at the college level, they're doing this, and they're public? What happens?
Well, what happens is there would be a complaint filed against them, and they have
okay.
to correct it. And if they don't correct it, we then have to go to the next step, which means there would be a monetary fine against it. Period. And if that doesn't work, we would then believe that the administration would have to take the appropriate action, either suspending that professor or teacher, or again, dismissing them after all these other things have taken place. Certainly, you have to give someone time to change or have a discussion about
right.
it. But again, this is the beginning of sending a clear message. It may not end up this way. The bill may not end up this way at the end of it. But I think we have to start with the wish list of everything we want, and then see what comes out of it.
All right. Now, I think the boycott, divest, sanction movement is anti-Semitic. It's hateful. It's singling out the only democracy in the area. Would someone be able to, or institutions, a lot of these colleges push for this stuff. They seem to encourage it.
Well, again, you know, we're not restricting the fact that you can't say, you know what, we believe that we should boycott those things. You're allowed to say that. Whether we agree, that's part of, by the way, the sadness is, that this debate, if it was going on openly in many college campuses, we wouldn't be having this problem. But it's not. It's only one-sided. So if you're going to talk about boycotting Israel, why? You have to say, why is Israel in the position they're in? And what is the Israeli government doing? You know, I can tell you, as I'm sure you're aware of, there are many, many things that the Israeli government has done in a positive way to try to work with the Arab countries around them, to try to help the Arab people. Now, we can all deny that, but I don't, because I've been to Israel many times, and I've seen what they've done. And I've been there. And I've seen the positive things that they've done to try to make things better, and they want peace in the Middle East. If you're going to tell the whole story, tell the whole story. Then it gives that student or that individual the right to make up their own minds. But when you only do it one-sided, and you, as you say, you denounce the only democracy in the entire region. You denounce the Jewish state as the Jews. Then you've crossed over the line if you don't do the other side of the coin.
We're talking with New Jersey State Senator Robert Singer about this new bill, bipartisan support with Steve Sweeney. It just seems to me what you're saying, though, I would be very strict about this. You strike me as you are. But I don't know, does this bill, there's a long laundry list of things, but it's very hard to pin these to specific circumstances. And I know it's difficult, and I agree with what you're trying to do, making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, stereotypical allegations about Jewish people or the power of Jewish people. So Omar saying it's all about the Benjamins, that would qualify under this bill. That's out of bounds, right?
That is out of bounds. And let me and look, maybe I'm more sensitive. My eldest daughter was in a terrorist bombing in Israel where 15 people died. She was hurt. So I have I understand a little bit about this. I understand a little about terrorism. The 19-year-old suicide bomber who was from Hamas family was given money and cheered as a hero because he killed 14 innocent people, women, children, and everything else like that. So I'm a little bit sensitive about the whole issue and I'm passionate about it for many, many reasons. But I agree with you 100%. Her comments to say that the Benjamins, think about all the comments we think in life about ethnic slurs to people, how offended everybody gets. Why isn't people offended about that kind of comment?
Well, you know what, and I'm glad that Steve Sweeney's on this with you, because the problem is not with you and me. We are. It's the Democratic Party has allowed this. I mean, to me mainly, and I don't want to drag you into the politics because I'm glad it's bipartisan, but it seems to me, and it's shocking, we do have those that are Jew haters on the right, without a doubt. Historically, there's been that. The thing that's the story, though, and I don't know if you agree, Senator, over the last 10 or 15 years, is how on college campuses to the left, this is where the prime focus is at this point. In other words, I think these groups, they're out there. The people in Charlottesville, some of them, they are Jew haters. They have been. But I think their numbers are not mainstream. What's going on in college campuses is mainstream college campus Jew hatred, like Omar, and no one seems to say much about it. You're right.
Well, it offends me about what one factor. Think about it. And I use that ethnic slur. Think about any other ethnic slur that, God forbid, you'd ever say, like she says, the Benjamins. There would be uproars. You're a racist. You're everything else like that. We don't say that. She's not denounced for that. And part of the problem is, and I experience it from the far left, whenever you challenge something, not on anything else but the facts of the case, the first thing they immediately throw out is, you're a racist. And the reason why they do it is twofold. Number one, they want to back you away so that you are afraid to say anything. And it backs everyone else away to try to defend you because they don't want to be tailed as a racist. And that term is thrown around unbelievable. I've been called things like that on the floor of the Senate because I disagreed with somebody, not on ethnic bounds, but on the fact of I didn't believe that policy was a good policy. And I've been called God knows what. And the problem of it is everyone backs away. No one wants to defend it because they don't want to be called a racist also. Yet when someone says something like this, the Benjamins, everyone's afraid to call her what it is, racism.
Yeah, exactly. So Steve Sweeney's on board with this. That's the highest powered, arguably. I think he's the juice in New Jersey versus the governor in a lot of ways. He's on board. He's the co-sponsor. That must mean you guys feel there's enough traction on this. Because there have been legislators, to your point and others, they don't seem to get what Israel's up against. They really don't. They don't want to know that. And a lot of this is this idea that the Palestinian people are just being oppressed. That is a big trope that's out there, and I don't know if you run into that.
Well, what you said something before that is so true. What is going on our college campuses right now is horrific. Many of the terrorist groups like Hamas are funding organizations on college campuses to denounce Israel and to, again, go for the Palestinians, their viewpoint, and everything else like that. And what's bothering them about all of this is the college campuses are afraid to start with them, so they let those groups come out and speak and this and that. When a Jewish group comes to speak, oh, you can't come, that we're afraid of reactions. And when the Arab groups or the groups that are against the Jewish groups coming to speak say, do any form of violence or, oh, don't have them speak, you can't speak, there may be violence. Yet when an Arab group comes, no Jewish group ever creates violence. That's not within our nature. That's not what we're talking about. College campuses should be a place for free speech. You're right. They should be able to say what they want to say. Jewish groups should be able to say what they want to say in outer security and not being afraid to say it or being denounced to say it. And unfortunately, college campuses in many cases have gone the other way, where Arab groups are protected and Jewish groups are denounced.
Give us a timeline on this. You say, you know, and I agree with you, you know, it may not be the final bill. So you have, though, two leaders, you and Sweeney. What happens next? Is this in committee?
Well, we're on break for the summer, and Senate President Sweeney hopefully will be working on this fall, and hopefully we'll have it on the governor's desk before the end of the voting session, which ends in January.
You think the governor's on board with this? I'm rather doubtful about that. You know him better than I.
Well,
I only know the sneakers.
Let me say one thing to you. You know, the ACLU is concerned about the First Amendment rights.
Right.
I was laughing a little bit because unfortunately, as we see in many cases, the ACLU doesn't get involved when Antifa is doing vicious things and saying, wait a second,
that's
they
right.
want to take these people to task. But the ACLU is more concerned about that you put a Christmas tree in front of the town hall or that somebody uses the name Jesus in a prayer at a town meeting. That's their number one things they're concerned about. They should be concerned about things like this that, right, we may have to tweak this a little bit so it doesn't be the First Amendment situation. But the emphasis on the bill, ACLU never said this is a good bill, we need to have things like this. They were worried about the First Amendment rights because that becomes their case on this one. I wish they were that aware of other issues like Antifa and things like that, what they're saying, what they're doing in college campuses and around the country, but they're silent on that.
Hey, I'm so glad we discovered you. You know, it's a vast wilderness in New Jersey versus many time talk radio. So I do hope you'll come back on anything that you have. I enjoyed talking with you, and we'll give this a look as you tweak it. I'm certainly on board with the general concept. It's just, you know, how do we actually do this on the ground? But please do come back, State Senator.
We will, and I thank you for your time. It was wonderful being with you.
All right, there's New Jersey State Senator Robert Singer, 855-839-1210. Nice, Dan, that you found him. And I have First Amendment concerns, but, you know, if you let me loose on this, as much as I love the First Amendment, there's got to be some equity here. You heard some of the things he brought up. Should those things then be under fire, or is this just an attempt to get equity? But the Democrat Party at the national level and many state levels and college campuses, they are anti-Israel, some of it because they're afraid. You know my stance. I'm ZOA Man of the Year. I'm proud of that. That's one of my top 10 accomplishments.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In the On Deck Circle around 10:30, the great Andy McCarthy is going to be here. He's got a book coming out on the Mueller report, an entire book. And we're going to break down with him, and then I'll take yours. What question would Andy McCarthy ask tomorrow? Or set up questions. How would he deal with this? The main area of concern or the main area to question is how did the dossier and all that, how did it play out? There's a story out there. Comey had a spy inside the White House on President Trump, which is, it gets more frightening at every second. So Republicans have a golden opportunity tomorrow if they don't blow it and stick to one point to take away that is the strongest point. That's what I'm going to ask McCarthy. Nobody better in the country for my money to do that. That's coming up at 10:30. But you just heard State Senator Singer, and I'm on board with a lot of this, finally. And I'm surprised Steve Sweeney's signing off on it because it's coming from the left in significant numbers. It's outrageous what goes on. And Omar today is going down Broadway once again with this. What does it take for the ADL and the, I should have asked that. You know, the vaunted anti-defamation league. When do they ever speak up? Really? I mean, I'm objective with this because I'm not Jewish. I'm a Zionist. Yeah. In my belief system, and I've been to Israel, I love that trip. It was tremendous. Love to go back again and broadcast. The broadcasts from there were fabulous. All right, let's go to Jay in Florida. Jay, you're in on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Jay, welcome in.
Hey, thanks again for having me again, brother.
You're welcome, Jay.
Hey, before I say anything, man, I never knew that you had that award. That is absolutely unbelievable. That's phenomenal. I'm almost happy.
Yeah, it was, and I'll give you my main line that night that got the house. Admittedly, it was throwing chum in the water, so to speak. We need a lot less Obama and a lot more Netanyahu. That got people going that night. Yeah, yeah.
Another line is we need less Obama and more Obama. That's the name of the candy that they give to everybody over there.
Yeah, exactly. But, exactly.
It's like the peanut candy. But, yeah, man, I think a big problem that we have on the right is that our blessing is our bane. We're so independent. We're so objective. You know, we're not hive-minded. And the Democrats, like, when it comes, like, everybody's saying they're broken up, there's so much fracture right now. We say that every time, but once it comes down to, you know, 2020, 2016, 2012, they're united. And I think with the right, we got to grow a pair, man. I feel like we got to get more people active. Like, I was reading something on a Democrat candidate. I forget who it was, and I forget exactly what it was for, but they said they were talking about how you go to a pizza party, you go to like an Avon makeup thing or something like that. You go in there and you register people to help out. And I think we need to start yoking all the talents of the people on the right so we can be just as active as on the left. And that's
I agree with you, and I'll be talking about this in coming days, Jay. I'm invited to this just meetup, and 300 or 400 people come there on August 8th. Around President Trump. Stuff like that is happening all over the Delaware Valley. Where you are in Florida, of course, it's critical also. That's another big state.
Yeah, I was really fortunate. I got to meet with Governor DeSantis before he was elected, and there were a lot. Okay. Somebody called me from GOP Vets, and they got me down there, and I was able to help out. But, yeah, I think this thing with the anti-Semitism is, I think we just got to put it front and center. The fact that we could not draft legislation to condemn Omar. Not only that, we didn't even condemn anti-Semitism. We condemned Islamophobia anti-Semitism.
That's you're taking us back to that resolution. You're exactly right. What's your profession that's underpaid?
You know, I'm not going to say this about New Jersey because I was a teacher there for a while and we got paid well. But as a Florida teacher, we could use a little bit more. I mean, I wouldn't say grossly underpaid, but we could use a little bit more.
All right, teacher underpaid. We're asking this because Tlaib is out there with the $20 an hour thing going on. So when you call in at the end of your call so far, we have teacher, nurses. Who is underpaid? All right. Coming up, we will talk with Andy McCarthy and our buddy, Cory Booker. I want to play you this. I haven't seen him apologize yet today. Cory Booker was on NBC yesterday. And he's asked about President Trump. And he says that Trump is elderly, out of shape, and a physically weak specimen.
I was running on an Iowa stage, and we were so psyched. Hundreds of people there. I'm about to jump up, and this guy sees me, the former tight end from Stanford University. He's a big guy. He puts his arm around me, and he goes, "Dude, I want you to punch Donald Trump in the face." And I stop in my tracks, and I go, "Dude, that's a felony, man." Yeah. and you know, this Donald Trump is a guy who, you understand, he hurts you. And my testosterone sometimes makes me want to feel like punching him.
What?
Which would be
testosterone
bad for this
test.
Elderly, out of shape.
I want a test.
Man, that he is. Yeah. If I did that, this physically awesome. Physically weak specimen, awesome. A physically weak specimen. But you see what I'm talking there? Even that's his tactics.
Wait a minute. That seems to be classic body shaming. Elderly, out of shape, physically
which would be bad
weak
for
specimen.
This elderly, out of shape man that he is. If I did that, this physically awesome. Physically weak specimen.
Cory Booker, I've interviewed in person, and he does that thing that Johnny Carson used to do: put his hands together and bow, and all that shtick. Right? I don't believe that guy really. I know he played tight end allegedly at Stanford, but doesn't look like a tight end to me. You know, I'm not seeing that. So here's another guy now. Joe Biden wants to be doing push-ups. Maybe Biden will challenge Cory Booker to a push-up contest. He hasn't apologized yet today, but the day is still young. All right, we have the master coming up, and here's what I want from you. Here's your shot. Maybe you haven't called before. What question or area of question, see how you would phrase it, do you want Republicans not to blow it tomorrow? And to drill down on this, what I'm hoping is Democrats all fighting for FaceTime on TV and all that will go off and start meandering and running out the clock with Mueller. And Mueller's not going to have any of that. They should focus in, and I'm going to ask McCarthy, the area that they should focus in would be obstruction, allegedly. But the American people are tired of this. This is not going to unleash anything significant past tomorrow. It's just not going to do it. But there's opportunity here. I know what you want. I know my audience. I know listeners. You want what I want for once, not skipping past the dossier, how it got there, Mrs. Clinton, Comey, we want to get to the heart of who started this off. And that's what Barr has promised. That's what he's investigating. Rather than just offering defenses tomorrow, I would be probing that. Drill down on that. Make the American people realize how bogus this thing was from the beginning. That's the goal. And I wonder if you share that. Nobody better. And thank God we're able to get him, given how much demand is out there for Andy McCarthy on all levels, particularly on Fox News Channel. And we invited Andy on to talk about the upcoming Mueller testimony tomorrow. We'll play you again at some point this Hank Johnson guy saying Republicans have a trick. They're going to throw him off by calling him Mueller throughout the testimony. He doesn't like that. He's hearing that all the time. Let's go to Andy McCarthy. Hey, Andy, welcome in and congratulations on your second book.
Oh, I think this is my sixth book, I think. So, but thank you, Don. I appreciate it.
You don't know how much I admire that, because I was in the throes just, you know, recently again. It takes so much. And you had to really stay on top of this because it kept on popping up developments around Mueller.
Yeah, it's the last, I said this once before, but it's the last time I'll ever write a book about a moving target, because it's just, it's very frustrating and it's hard to figure a sensible place to stop. And you're always worried that, you may think what you wrote was good, but by the time it comes out, it could also be a moving target, you know, so or it can be superseded by other events. So it's a little bit of a frustrating experience, but hopefully people will like it. We'll see how it goes.
Oh, yeah, I know they will. August 13th, want to tell people to pre-order now, and we'll have Andy on hopefully around that time to be talking about it. But Andy, if I had to put a button on it with listeners when I get social media on the air and everything else, they love the Barr approach, that we want to go back now and get the questioning here about the nexus of this, how it went down, how all this happened. Would that be appropriate tomorrow, or do Republicans just have to be, let's face it, in political terms, defensive around what Democrats think they're going to be on the offense tomorrow?
Well, I think, Don, the latest developments indicate to me that everybody is going to come away from this frustrated. I think the Republicans have to be patient, but they also have to be kind of realistically patient. I mean, if they thought that Barr was going to be – I'm not Barr, I'm sorry – that Mueller was going to be a home run for them, you know, that they were going to be able to ask all these questions about the genesis of the investigation and the way it was conducted, and that Mueller was going to – give them what they wanted and say, oh, yeah, it was an abusive investigation and should never have been started. That was never, ever going to happen. So I think they are, whether they realize it or not, the beneficiaries of the instruction that the Justice Department has now given Mueller, that he is not to go outside the four corners of his report. And from the Democrat standpoint, you know, the report is already a known quantity as far as the public is concerned. We've had 4 months to absorb it and understand it. It seems to me that the public wanted to know if there was a collusion conspiracy, some kind of a cyber espionage conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia. Without Mueller having found that, I don't think there's much appetite or interest in obstruction as much as the Democrats seem to care about it. And now the Justice Department has basically told Mueller, which is exactly what Mueller wanted to be told, by the way, that he can't go outside the four corners of his report. So it seems to me Mueller's being brought in to do something the Democrats could do for themselves, which is read the report. You know, if this was just about...
Yeah, exactly. I think he's a guy, you know better, but I think he's a guy who's not going to be shaken no matter what you say from going outside the four corners of this report. He sticks to the script, it strikes me.
He sticks to the script. And the other thing is, you know, if you're in a courtroom and a witness is being uncooperative, there's a very simple way to deal with that. The judge has to instruct the witness to answer the questions. And the witness doesn't get to tell the questioner what questions he'll deign to answer. in a congressional hearing, you don't really have anybody playing the role of the judge. In theory, the committee chairman could do it, but they never do it. So the only teeth that Congress has that can really sort of threaten a witness into answering questions and being a cooperative witness is the fear that the witness will be held in contempt. Mm-hmm. And Mueller doesn't have the slightest fear that any congressional committee is going to hold him in contempt. That's never, ever going to happen. So I think he's just basically going to thumb his nose at everyone tomorrow and say, you know, the report speaks for itself. And if they say to him, which would be a natural question, well, if you weren't going to answer anything outside the report, then what do we need you for? His answer will probably be, yeah, well, that's precisely why I didn't want to come to testify. So I think this is going to be very frustrating for everyone tomorrow.
Well, that will be okay. I mean, I think the American people are not going to pay attention. Now, why does it take this Inspector General report so long, or do you think this is judicious? I'm reading this morning it'll come out in early September, and I think there should be something a little bit more definitive in that about the genesis of this, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. And the reason the reports take so long, Dom, is there's probably not one silver bullet reason. One thing we know is that Horowitz is very thorough. You know, we've seen his report, particularly in connection with the Hillary emails thing, where it went on for, I think, about 600 pages. So, you know, these are long, painstakingly done reports. I've also heard in connection with this one that after Attorney General Barr was confirmed and made it clear that the Justice Department was serious about getting to the bottom of what happened
mm-hmm.
here,
right.
Other witnesses came forward and cooperated with the independent counsel. And you could understand that. I mean, you could see that, you know, people sitting on the sidelines who think they have information calculating, if I volunteer to say what I know, is this going to hurt me? Is it going to hurt me professionally? Is it going to hurt my career? Once a new attorney general comes in and says, no, this is important to us. We're serious about getting to the bottom of this. I think that loosened or to the extent people had inhibitions about being cooperative, I think that kind of reduced them. So I think he had more information at the last second to deal with, which is why this has gotten delayed. You know, we were originally told it might be May that it came out.
Right.
So now it's September.
Right.
So I imagine that that's it. And the other thing is, you know, he has two different audiences to please, the inspector general. It's one of these constitutional hybrids where he works for both the attorney general and Congress. And some people have to read the report before it becomes public. So, you know,
right.
It's like everything else in Washington. It's a process.
Now, here's the nugget that's out there today. According to Real Clear Investigations, Horowitz will file this report, Andy, that contains evidence. Comey assured the president he was not the target of an investigation, even as he was working on a counterintelligence assessment of Trump during the time and apparently running a covert operation essentially inside the White House to spy on Trump. You know, I just always saw Comey, and I guess my sense of the FBI, other than the stuff that J. Edgar Hoover was doing that I was always afraid of and whatever his personal life was, I just never could imagine it would sink to the depths that we saw with Page and Strzok and whatever. Does that kind of surprise you? You've been inside it all these years. This is a revered outfit. And Comey, in large measure, and some of these others, McCabe, they've really taken it, in my perception, to a very low level now.
Well, let's remember, Dom, that the Real Clear Investigations report, while it's very interesting, it hasn't been confirmed yet.
Okay,
so
yes.
We'll see if that actually happens. And the detail I'm thinking of is, like, did he have a mole inside the White House and,
yes.
and all that jazz. But all that said, I must say, you know, I started writing probably a year and a half ago, maybe more than that. I don't know exactly when it was. But I thought that Comey had given the president misleading information when he told him that he was not a subject of the mm-hmm. investigation. My position has always been that he was the subject of the investigation and that nobody would have cared about little old Carter Page or George Papadopoulos or any of those characters but for the fact of their connection to Trump. And I thought that the way the investigation was structured is that they told Trump that he wasn't a suspect because, you know, they, on the very legalistic understanding that his name was not on any investigative file.
Right.
But
right.
at all times, the investigation was structured so that he was the main subject.
Sure.
So if Paul Sperry's point at Real Clear Investigations is that Trump was misled about whether he was actually the subject of the investigation or not, I completely agree with that. That's the theory of my book, and you know, I've been saying it for a long time, so I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, more facts come out that confirm that that's the case.
Well, listen, thank you for coming on today. It's going to be busy in August. We hope to get you a convenience for you. It couldn't happen to a better guy, both the success with Fox and now the new book on this. It is just tremendous. Nobody has the insight. We're just privileged to be able to bring you on.
Well, it's a privilege to be here, Dom, and I always enjoy our chat. So thanks very much for having me.
All right, Andy. Thank you as always. Andy McCarthy with us here on Talk Radio 1210, the new book coming out August 13th. Of course, we're on top of it. All right. You heard the point that we made here. What's the question you want to ask tomorrow? Phrase it. I got a lot of people on social media. I'd love to hear you. You heard what Andy said, given the ground rules and all. And I'll be fine with this if this isn't big theater other than the back and forth. Dan and I were talking during Jim Jordan is the guy that's good at this. He'll be very good. He always is. A lot of these others, you're going to yourself, get to the point. Stop being deflected here. And the point of the question, whether Mueller asked it or not, to get it on the record, is the genesis of all this. That's what we want to know. We want this circle closed. We want, if you will, our side out there for once. And the genesis of how this witch hunt started. That's the point. Democrats, of course, are still thinking, some of them are still thinking they're going to prove collusion. The obstruction question, if they drill down on that tomorrow, but I don't know how you have that if you don't have collusion.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What a joy it is to have a job where you get to interact with guys like Andy McCarthy. Nobody's better, I believe. And that new book out on August 13th, we're on it. 855-839-1210. All right, what do you want to hear asked of Mueller tomorrow? Now, Mueller is somebody I know that gets the juices flowing. Comey, though, is the one. You know, it gets me nuts, really, more than Comey. McCabe. Something about that weasel sets me off even more than Comey, Strzok, and Page. But tomorrow in the docket, Mueller, I think Mueller is going to do exactly what Andy McCarthy said. What's your question, though? 855-839-1210. Let's go to Robert. Robert, you're in Old City. You knew that. How you doing, Robert?
Hanging in there.
Good.
Yeah, I can hear him. He can hear you. He's already laughing.
Yeah.
All right. So I would, if I was going to ask him the question, I would ask him boxers, briefs, or bikinis. You know, just like Clinton was back in MTV when he was running.
Yes, yes. But, you know, he's doing it before the Senate, too. I know who I should have asked that. Maisie Hirono, the woman, that crazy woman from Hawaii, would be great asking that question. She might. Who knows? She's got a point
Please.
Here. Let her follow up. Yeah.
We can dream, can't we?
Well, I don't know. If Mueller says bikinis, then we're on to something good here, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
Oh, man. So my underpaid person is the president of the United States. And the reason why is because he gets paid less than a superintendent for the school system here in Philadelphia. That ain't gonna
Well
work.
Put. Well put. Thank you, Robert. Thanks for the contribution today. Yeah, we're asking that at the end. We'll have to leave a $20 an hour minimum wage. Who's underpaid? So far, it's been teachers, nurses, and the president. Joe's in Northeast on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Dom. How are you?
Good.
I'm actually in Columbus, New Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Mueller created one heck of a problem when he made that statement, I couldn't absolve the president. I want to ask him what made him think that that was to absolve the president was in his scope of work as question one.
Okay.
And once he answered that, I would say, well, why you were being so over exuberant, why didn't you really look into where the dossier originated and really knock yourself out?
Yeah, well, I have tremendous faith. Barr is dogged. He is going to push the, he is pushing this whole thing about getting to the bottom. Well, I think we know, but I mean, for the public to lock it down, the genesis of all this thing, because that gets us into the witch hunt.
Right, right. I just thought the guy overstepped his bounds, and there was probably a darn good reason subversively for it.
Yeah, exactly, Joe. I think this is going to be kind of a non-event tomorrow. I don't want to rain on the parade. I think Andy McCarthy's right. I think Mueller's the type of guy that will stay in the boundaries of that report. And there'll be a lot of theatrics with Democrats particularly, but that's about it. Who's the underpaid profession for you?
Well, I like your former guest's proposal. Give the president a raise, but I'm going to go on the boring side with everybody else and say school teachers.
Teachers. Wow, Dan has the pulse of the people. I thought people would never say that. Dan Borowski strikes here. He's got the golden gut, so to speak. Well, something like that, that he said teachers to me in the pregame show here before we came on. All right, let me squeeze Russ in Willow Grove in. Russ, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hi, Russ.
Hey, Don. Listen, I was wondering if that was a year ago or something. It was just mentioned on TV like once about Mueller sending an envelope over to the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if that was anyone, how do they call that when you can't be charged with nothing?
Double jeopardy or?
No. When they want you to talk and they say, you're not going to be charged with nothing, we're going to give you...
Immunity, yes.
Immunity. I was wondering, who has immunity and what's his name, Comey? Did he get immunity? Because you notice how he talks a lot?
Yeah, I don't think Comey's not getting immunity, not at all. No, when he comes, that's when it's going to be the theater. And Comey's cocky, so Mueller is kind of...
Sure.
Yeah, Mueller's kind of gray. He's going to stay with what's in here. No, there's no immunity with Mueller tomorrow. I don't expect an explosion. I think Barr's going to have to carry the water to get to what we want, which is putting out there definitively how all this started. That's the real story now.
Well, the problem is he never did any of it. He didn't even care how it started. He had an agenda, man. That's it.
Yeah, you know? Well, Barr's got the other agenda, if you will. Who's the profession you think is underpaid?
I think it's the president.
The president?
Even though
this president,
giving his money, he doesn't even take a dime, but he's still doesn't get paid enough.
All right. Wow. What should Trump get paid, Dan? $1 billion a year? That's two presidents in a row. We got teachers, presidents, nurses so far. We know cops. Cops would be my number one answer. If you have a question you'd like to hear them ask tomorrow of Robert Mueller, we'd love to hear it. I'm going with Andy McCarthy as far as this will be sort of a more non-event. That's what's going to shake out of this, and the American people are past it. But I think Barr and hopefully the Horowitz report, the key thing is to go back to the genesis of this. And Comey, caller of the last hour, is right. It's just all over the place and has not stopped. He's getting more and more aggressive. So it's going to be interesting when he's in the dock at some point to find out. And this story out there by Paul Sperry today that he had a mole inside the White House. You heard Andy McCarthy, the theory of his book, the statement of his book is Trump was the target all along. Look, this Carter Page guy, nice enough guy, but come on, not a player. And Papadopoulos we've had on the show, they were really the target. No, it was Trump all along. That's a big argument of Andy McCarthy in his book. That's what it's about. There's no denying that. And that should be chilling to all but the most partisan Democrats, but it's not. The power of the FBI, that's always been chilling to everybody, you would think. Who guards the guardians? Who watches the watchers?
Dom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.